As I told my wife when I came up here, I said, well, look, I got to go upstairs to do a podcast, and the Pats are ahead by 10 points.
Yeah, but they're sucking.
Just like last week. Yeah, just like last week. We'll see how they do this week. Almost live from across the USA, this is Late Night QRM. Your hosts tonight are Josh, Barry J, Barty, and Michael, the Virtual Youper. Tonight, we survived the great Maine earthquake of 2012. Apple announces that they're going to make an announcement, and Barry gives his annual political side rant. All that and more on Late Night QRM! And now, digitally gathering at the plush QRM studios in Southwest New Hampshire, here's Josh, Barry J, Barty, and Michael! Hey, welcome everybody to Late Night QRM show number 68 from the Southwest corner, a very shaky place to have been the past week. I am Barry J.
And this is Barty in central New York, which has not been shaky, but it's been a little chilly and the weather's been rather mixed.
And I'm Michael, the Virtual Youper, with a mouthful of popcorn, so we'll keep it short here.
And welcome, everybody, to, well, like I said, show number 68. And, I'm out of breath. I just had to run downstairs because my laptop was consuming bandwidth. So I had to shut it down so the rest of the people could hear me. It was a shaky place here this week. It was the night of the debate. So was that Tuesday? Tuesday night?
The debates were such a seismic event. Amazing.
Well, sitting there, it was a little bit after 7 o'clock, and I had the TV on, and I'm in our family room, which is the breezeway between the garage and the main house. And it's got a cement floor because, you know, it's on a slab, basically. And I'm sitting there, and all of a sudden it felt like a gust of wind came up from nowhere. The whole house rattled once. But then it continued to rattle, and I said, it's not windy out. And then the floor started going back and forth. And Emery goes, what's that? And I said, earthquake! So apparently the epicenter was up in Maine, and it was like a 4.5. And because, well, the East Coast is one giant granite slab, I think. If it shakes in Maine, it shakes down here in New Hampshire, too. And we really felt it. I mean, it was a good strong one, lasted between 10 and 15 seconds. So.
Yeah, well, I heard later it was downgraded to a 4.0.
Yeah, I heard that too, and then I heard somebody upgraded it again, so I don't know where it is.
But, you know, either way, people in California are like going, really?
Yeah. Well, like, as you probably have, you probably experienced more because not only were you in Misawa, Japan, but you also spent time in Alaska. This was like nothing for me anyway, because yeah. I've been
well,
in a
actually, I
lot
felt
worse.
More earthquakes in Southern California when I was at Edwards than I did in Alaska.
Okay,
I was way in the center of the state up in Fairbanks. Oh, so I didn't really feel a whole lot of earthquakes there. But Japan, yeah, up at good old Misawa, we got quite a few good shakings. Yeah. There were a couple of times that we had some that were like 6.5, 7.0 type earthquakes where like ceiling tiles were dropping and lights were falling and junk like that, you know?
Yeah. I think I the highest I ever experienced was like a 6.5, and it was in Japan and Misawa. But they tend to last a little longer too. So
yeah, the very first one in Japan that we experienced is really kind of funny, because it was shortly after we had got there. We were still in off base housing, and we had a waterbed, which was really kind of funny, because when it was kind of one of those rolling kind of quakes, and we woke up because the bed was sloshing back and forth. You know, and my first thought was, I thought Tony, my wife, was on the other side pushing down, you know, just so that the bed would rock that way.
Yeah.
You know, but I realized kind of quickly when she was like asking me what was going on, and you could hear things in the house everywhere rattling, that it wasn't quite the case.
Well, yeah, I remember the worst one. Like I said, I think this was the 5.6 or something like that. What did I say? 6.5. I think it was a 6.5 in Japan. And sitting there eating lunch, and all of a sudden it starts shaking. And it was one of those, it was going up and down kind, and it wasn't stopping. So ran out the back door, and there was a big field out where we lived, out in the back. And ran out into the field, and we're standing there, and it was still rolling. So we had enough time to realize there was an earthquake going on, run outside, get about halfway into the field so nothing would fall on us, and it was still rattling and rolling. The trees were swaying back and forth, and there was no wind, and you felt like you were on the deck of a ship almost, but it was the ground.
Yeah, I felt those. That's what we tended to have in Japan, where the ones that were more rolling, kind of like a sea-type motion.
Yeah.
So. Yeah. The ones that we had in California were more of a jarring thing. And the worst one that I remember was when I was working at the B2, we had a computer room that was the size of like two gymnasiums side by side, that had something like a dozen mainframes in it, and I forget how many other smaller computer systems. And it was like, as soon as it hit, it was like a side-to-side shaking, and you could hear hard drives screeching everywhere. Oh. That's back in the days where you had, you know, the great big like washing machine type hard drive systems, where you put the big plastic thing down and screwed it into the disks and lifted them up.
And that's where a hard drive crash really meant it crashed.
Yes,
yeah, because they usually flung apart
out the surface of the of the disk.
Yeah,
and it's really kind of funny because, you know, we're all taught from tech school on, because, you know, I came in the days where the Air Force was running mainframes all the time, and we were like talking about mainframe hard drive protection and things, and they always said that always take out the hard drives after a crash, but do not put any more in until the field engineer comes over to replace the heads, and. There's like three or four of us running around taking all these drives out of all these disk units.
Yeah.
And there was this one guy, an airman, that was going around putting new ones in and powering it up.
Oh,
and we were like, what the hell's going on? Because we could hear the screeching going on. We're like, where's that coming from? And this guy's like all proud of himself, saying, I'm putting new disk in. And we're like, no! All the crashed heads were like, you know, gouging the new drive.
Yeah.
And I was like, no.
And those drives weren't cheap.
not in those days. Yeah. Oh, man.
Yeah.
It was such a disaster.
Wow.
It was funny. Me and the guy I was working with, Aaron and I, just kind of looked at each other and said, we're not taking the fall for this. We called our supervisor right away and explained exactly what happened and said, we're gone.
Because
there was nothing else we could do at that point. It was all up to the field engineers to pick up the pieces and put everything back together.
Because everything had to be, the heads have to be realigned or replaced.
Oh, all new heads had to be put in because they were all torn up.
Yeah, because those things used to spin pretty fast. That's why things would fall apart.
Well, not as fast as the modern hard drives do, though. It's funny because over time, hard drives have gotten smaller, faster, and with bigger capacity for less cost.
Yeah.
Because these were like, you know, great big things that were, you know, about the size of a washing machine, you know, like a rather small washing machine, but the same kind of size and form factor, you know, with a lid that either slid up into it or lifted up like a washing machine. And you would have like a series of platters that were anywhere from 6 to 8 disks. And mm-hmm. you know, it would be more like a 60 megabyte drive and stuff in those days.
Yeah.
And it was like every time we got an upgrade, it would be like 2 or 3 times more storage at about 2 or 3 times the less size. And so it kept shrinking and getting more and more condensed. You know, like when I left there, we had like 3 terabyte drives that would fit in the size of like a post office mailbox, if you ever had one of those yeah. postal boxes.
Yep.
It was that small, and it would fit in. You know, we had these disk arrays that would have like 4 across and about 6 rows down,
yeah.
and it was about the little door for it was about the same size as the post office door, and you could, you know, flip that open, and then you could power down the drive, pull it out, put a new one in, and power it up, and then go back to the mainframe and tell it that I want to format this drive, and you give it all the parameters that you want the drive to have,
yeah.
and you know it was that simple, and that held like terabytes, you yeah. know, and then that was a pretty early time period for terabytes, because it took it was another like 10 years before terabytes showed up in the commercial world.
Yeah,
but yeah, it was like amazing how small things got, and how dense, and the amount of what the rotational speed was. Mm. So it's like the more data you can store, the faster them babies are spinning.
Yeah, and I guess the new ones that are going to be coming out soon, or they might even be starting to come out, they found that they can pack in almost like twice as much data if you have, fill it with helium.
Yeah, yeah. That is just crazy.
Yeah, so I don't know that much about those drives or whether they're out yet or not, but it's just amazing. But then again, in this internet world, you need a lot of storage, or depend on the cloud either one way or another.
Yeah, that's true. So that's true. Everything is getting more and more cloud centric, and that's all based upon storage capacity.
Yep.
You know, but you know, it's funny because it used to be that you had to have all the storage capacity locally, and you would do all your activity remotely. Where now it's like more and more of your activity is being done locally, but all the storage is remote.
Right. Yeah. It's the opposite. But that's good, because, you know, in the old days, you had your computer and that was it. Now you've got your computer and your pad and your, you know, or tablet and your phone and all these things that can, you want to be able to consume your data on and have access to it. So it's, yeah. It's pretty amazing.
Yeah, that's true. And you don't really need a lot of local storage for that. You just simply need to have access to remote storage to make it all work.
Right. Yeah. Now that we got the speeds up with LTE and stuff, it's, you know, it's all there.
Can LTE be in the club. Is still rather limited.
Yes, it is. It's the only place
I was listening to one of the shows that I wasn't available for, and listening to you talk about going down to Nausea shopping for a bed, and you were talking about...
Thank you.
Such a gleeful geek. You're hitting LTE. I'm doing LTE. And I can just imagine Anne Marie going, oh, yeah, whoopee. The bed goes this way. You know, and I can just imagine your happiness that she found the store that she wanted to go into that didn't require your presence, and that she probably would prefer you not to be there.
Well, you know,
you could sit down and just geek away on LTE. I was picturing that. You know, Harry sitting on a bench in the mall, just smiling his ass off, going, "Hey, I'm doing LTE. Who can I tell?"
That's the way it went. Except for I was in the Pheasant Lane Mall, and you haven't been to the... Have you been to the Pheasant Lane Mall lately in one of your visits here?
No. During my visits there, I tend to confine my time to my grandchildren.
Okay. It's you know, upscale now.
I want to go is to some stinking mall.
Well, it's very upscale now. We don't have benches. We have comfortable chairs and couches.
Talk about that. Yeah, you were mentioning that in that episode. I don't remember which number it was. But yeah, and I was like, yeah, okay. You know, my idea of a mall is, where do I absolutely have to go, and how fast can I get there and get out?
It's all carpeted now.
You know, I'm more of a downtown kind of guy. I would rather go shop up and down city streets, up and down blocks, and see different types of stores, you know, and not go to an enclosed behemoth of a building. You know, it's really kind of funny because in some localities, they're actually creating outdoor malls that are basically a recreation of the old downtown environment. Like down in Destin, Florida is a perfect example. That was one of the first places I saw that, that was like this. And there were places like that in Virginia. If you go outside of Langley, there's a huge outdoor mall that's like this small little mock downtown area.
Yeah.
But not really quite right. It's not really a downtown area. Well, you know, it's all like the same old mall storefronts done in a block-by-block pattern. You know, where some of the, like, Destin is done as a downtown. It had all the stores have unique storefronts and stuff, and it's like going into a mock downtown area, you know?
Yeah.
And I like that environment better than going into a mall.
Well, I was a mall rat, so I got used to malls early.
Well, you know, when I was growing up in New Hampshire, we had very, very few malls. Yeah. The Bedford Mall was the nearest mall to us up in the Concord area for the longest time.
And we wouldn't even consider that a mall where I grew up.
Well, it was bigger in the past.
Oh, really?
It shrunk a bit from what it, to what it is now. But like, you know, there wasn't a mall in Manchester, and there certainly wasn't a mall down in Salem, you know,
right.
Back in those days, you know, and I don't want to mention how far back that was.
1979 what?
You know, this is back in a time where Concord, New Hampshire didn't even have a McDonald's. We had a Howdy Beef Burger drive-in, but rather than go to Concord to go to the hamburger joint, we used to go north into Boscawen and get fried clams. There was an Adams Clam Bar that was the big hangout. It was the big place that everybody on the north side of Concord went to all the time for anything, because you could get all kinds of stuff, not just clams, but you know, they had clams cooked in like six different ways, and that was mainly what people went there for. But you could get, like, you know, clams and fries really cheap.
Yeah. Yeah.
And like when the first McDonald's went in, you know, we were already used to Howdy's, and we were like, yeah, okay, that's just a hamburger, big deal. We decided, screw that, let's go to Adams.
Yeah, I mean, we were the same way. We had the local favorites, and McDonald's and Burger King and all those things showed up. But, yeah, you tended to want to go to the locals. That's, you know, Pudge's was a cheesesteak place we used to go to all the time, and it's still around. And
we're in the Philly area, though, right?
Yeah.
Growing up?
Yeah. So, but I was in the burbs, so. But, they had lots of...
Before all the mass holes invaded.
Yeah, yeah, really.
Well, it was the early stages of the mass hole invasion, and it was mainly affecting the southern part of the state, you know, but it later extended up into Concord and Penacook, where I grew up, the small little town.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I tell you, New Hampshire was really... really a very special place that was kind of like two steps behind the rest of America back then. You know, after the whole hippie thing had kind of run its course and disappeared, you could still find hippies in New Hampshire. Now they've all gone to Vermont.
Yeah, that's interesting how they've moved over there. But
Well, you know, Vermont is kind of a very unique state because they are very, very focused towards small town life. Mm-hmm. They will not let Walmart put their stores just anywhere.
Right.
Unless already a large city that has other retail outlets, Walmart can't go there. Neither can McDonald's or Burger King or any other fast food outlet. They want to keep their small town small, and they don't want to destroy their downtowns. They are very vehement about that.
Yeah.
I love them for that, you know? I think that's a wonderful policy, because it really does keep a small town feel to almost everywhere you go in Vermont.
It is, yeah. All the little towns you go through. I said all the little towns. Like we always make a pilgrimage once or twice a year up to the Vermont Country Store, the real Vermont Country Store, not the fake one they put down by Route 91. there's two Vermont Country Stores now. And the original one is in downtown Weston, Vermont, and that town is it's your you know, it's a Currier and Ives town. That's all I can say. You go there, and it's like you're in a Currier and Ives painting. It's just it's perfect. It's so Vermont, so New England, and thank God there are no modern stores and stuff in there, because it would just destroy.
That's not by accident. That's by design.
Yeah,
it's, you know, nice. I mean, the people of Vermont feel this way, and they express that to their elected representatives, and that is being honored. They are not allowing all these fast food places and major retailers to run willy-nilly all over the state, you know? Maybe they saw what happened in New Hampshire when all the mass holes moved in and you know, and dragged all their mall mess with them, you know?
Yeah, unfortunately, the only part of old New Hampshire you can see now, you got to go way up north.
Exactly.
Yeah, so, Michael,
you were going to say... to the Connecticut Lakes or just a little bit south of that, and you know...
Michael, did you try to butt in there?
Yeah. I got one thing to say about Vermont.
Yeah?
Damn it, the rest stops have got to be open past 7 o'clock at night. You can't find a place to go to the bathroom on the interstate past 7 o'clock at night.
Yeah. Oh, come on. There's bushes everywhere.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's called the woods.
I did seriously consider it.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. It's... very bucolic, small town life all over Vermont. And,
yeah, but the interstate rest stops, I've never seen that anywhere. They literally lock the doors to the bathrooms on the interstate rest stops at 7 o'clock at night.
I've never actually tried to go to one, but at past 7 o'clock, because usually by the time it gets that late, I just want to get through Vermont to wherever I'm heading to.
That only takes 45
back
minutes.
Back and forth between New Hampshire and New York all the time.
If you start out at Lake Champlain... you got to go transverse across the state. It does take a little while.
Well, yes, if you go north to south, but if you're
that's
going,
what I did.
If you're going east,
visiting a friend of mine in Jaffrey.
Yeah, if you're going east to west.
Oh, you were coming across 89. Yeah, I get it.
Yes.
Yeah, from Rouse's Point all the way down to through White River Junction and down into Lebanon, New Hampshire.
Yep, that's exactly.
Yeah, I know the route very well.
You, Barty, when you come across, you probably get through Vermont in about 20 minutes, don't you? Because you're crossing southern part.
Actually, from where I am, if we choose to go through Vermont, which most of the time we do, unless we're in a really, really big hurry and want to make time, because it's actually faster to take the Mass Pike, even though it's longer, but the speed limits are higher, especially if you exceed them. The more relaxed, picturesque way to do it is to go towards Albany from here and then head north a little bit and go through Troy into southern Vermont, in which case it doesn't really take too much time there because you're just going from Bennington to Brattleboro and then you're into New Hampshire.
Right.
So it is a pretty quick ride.
Yeah, it's a narrow part of the state.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, well. So, Michael, how are things up in the Upperville there?
Yeah, Copper Harbor.
Well, it's gotten quiet. We're past the leaf peeper stages, thank God. But it also means it's gotten very quiet in town. There was a bicycle race here in town, and I'm trying to think. There was a specific name for it. They go around obstacles and stuff, and I should know, but I am so... burned out tonight. I can't tell you what it is.
So
and it's been in about the 40s, and so I think it's going to hang out there.
So you don't have 2 feet of snow yet?
No. Occasional snow, but it's not sticking around for very long right now.
Yeah, well, we've got all the leaves down now here, at least here we're in the Jaffrey area. And I was out cutting grass today with a coat on because it was chilly today and mulching
grass.
Yeah.
Why not just let it go till next year?
Well, it gets long, and Anne-Marie was yelling at me. She goes, "It looks horrible." I said, "Okay." Plus, I mulch the leaves when I do it. So I have a mulcher mower. So we got rid of a lot of the leaves, mulched them back into the ground, so that's less leaves for the landscape guys to suck up when they get here. We won't call them. You know, it's always a challenge to try to get them You want to schedule them as late in the fall as you can when all the leaves are off the tree, but before the first snowstorm.
Yeah, I'm a bit of a slob. I don't really worry about it at all.
Yeah.
But most of my lawn is pretty much moss and wild grasses and things like that, you know, yellow and orange paintbrushes. And, you know, we don't even get dandelions because they're not hardy enough to grow up here.
Wow.
Yeah, it's That's just amazing. Yellow and orange paintbrushes, you know, and like the grass, the whole yard looks like crap when you don't mow in a while. Mm-hmm. Not because the grass is long, because the grass barely grows. It's just wild grasses. Mm-hmm. But it's all the yellow and orange paintbrushes will grow. And like, they're not short flowers like dandelions. They grow like a good 2 feet high. So, and like, they only blossom in the later mornings and early afternoons. So, you know, when people are going to work, it looks okay. Mm-hmm. You know, all two or three of us that come by. But in the middle of the day, it looks really bad because you can see all these yellow and orange blossoms across the yard, you know. But by late afternoon, they're all closed up. And all you see are just these long stems sticking up. But there's really no grass to speak of. You know, there's a few sections, like over the septic tank, where the grass grows kind of nicely. Nice
of course.
You know, but other than that, you know, it's like, so why am I worrying about mowing? My biggest thing is that I think next spring I'm going to buy one of those really heavy rollers that you can drag behind your tractor.
Mm-hmm.
So that when the lawn is really, really wet from the spring rains,
right,
I'm going to drive all over the lawn and try to smooth it out as much as possible.
Because
one of the things that slows me down the most when I'm mowing is that the yard is so bumpy.
Really?
I get rocked left and right, and I'm like, you know, and like, there was a point when I was on dialysis, I couldn't even mow the yard very fast. I had to go real, real slow because... sloshing all the dialysis fluid in me, because I had like 2 liters that I was pumping into me.
Yeah.
And that was, you know, and that was like between my stomach and the stomach wall, you know.
Oh,
and I just couldn't go very fast at all. And then right after the surgery, of course, I couldn't handle that at all. I couldn't even mow.
So you're like a human washing machine there.
Yeah, pretty much. So, you know, I kind of figured, you know, it was like I didn't care. You know, I would just haul ass and handle the bumping and stuff. And, you know, as long as I didn't drink too much water, I was doing okay, you know. But now I'm kind of like, well, okay, forget this nonsense. Next spring, I'm going to buy myself a big, heavy roller and pull it behind the lawnmower. Every time it rains real, real hard, I'm going to go out there and drag this thing all around the yard and smooth it out as much as I can.
Yeah, those things will work as long as, like you said, you get it in the rainy season, the mud season.
Yeah, when the yard is really, really soft and mushy,
now you got to
drive over that freaking thing.
You get a good-sized tractor, lawnmower?
It's really kind of funny because the motor is as big as the one in my motorcycle, and it's from the same company.
Wow.
My motorcycle is a 500cc Kawasaki Vulcan, and this is a 500cc V-twin Hemi engine that I have. But the horsepower is quite a bit different. The tractor gets 22 horsepower, where the motorcycle gets about 40. But the motorcycle is a parallel twin. It's a 500cc parallel twin, where I've got a 500cc V-twin in the tractor. But a V-twin is in a lot of cases less efficient than a parallel twin. So I guess that's part of the reason why the horsepower is so different. Because, you know, I looked at one time to buying an 800cc Vulcan. When Kawasaki still sold them, they don't anymore, and it turned out that the horsepower wasn't really much different. I get 40 horsepower out of my 500, and 800 was like 45, you know. But I think it might have gotten a little bit more torque, which might have been handy.
Yeah.
But with my bike, I can cruise along on the highway at 80 miles an hour with no problem, as long as I don't have a windshield on. If I have a windshield on, the buffeting I get from the windshield is so bad, I can't go above 50.
Really?
So, yeah.
I didn't know
weird.
That.
Yeah, well, I guess you can put some buffers down below on your forks, that can take away some of that. Because what happens is the wind comes rushing up underneath the windshield, up at your head, and it causes your head to bounce left and right rather rapidly.
Oh, wow.
Which is rather disconcerting. I mean, it's kind of hard to see when your head is bouncing back and forth, you know?
Yeah. I think that would be a 10.
I kind of took my windshield off and just kind of cruised along without it, you know? Which is kind of a bummer because all the bugs hit me instead of hitting the windshield. So I've gone to a full face helmet now. So I don't have to eat the bugs.
Tasty.
Not really.
Smile and you got black spots all over you. Anyway, well, shall we move on to the next?
I think I saw Josh blink in.
I saw Josh blink in. He hasn't called yet, but he's online. So he should be hopefully showing up any minute. That probably means he turned on his laptop.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so it takes him minute or two.
We've certainly beaten the old Maine earthquake to death.
Yeah, kind of.
And half of the East Coast in the process.
Yeah, we talked about a few other things other than the Maine earthquake. But yes, last week was the second presidential debate, or I like to call it a presidential debate, but it was the I watched it. I thought it was interesting. I don't think Mitt hurt himself. I think Obama actually showed up this time the debate, but I think it was more of the same old crap coming from both of them. You know, I think we got our points down.
I really don't have any faith in either of these two candidates. And this is the way I felt in the last election. I was really interested in John McCain until he picked,
Sarah Palin.
Yeah, I hate to just say her name. And I hate to admit that she's from Alaska, because I dearly love Alaska. I hate leaving that place. To me, it's the most wonderful place on the earth. And the fact that they let someone like Sarah Palin lives there just kind of shows how tolerant they are of idiots. But I could not vote for John McCain, and I certainly could not vote for Obama. So I wrote in Ron Paul's name. And so Ron Paul got one vote in Redfield.
There you go.
Got like five in all of Oswego County.
I tend to agree with you. I'm not a big Sarah Palin fan, but I don't think she deserves all the hatred that the left give her. And the reason I say that is because
she's really very intelligent, you know. And I kind of contrast her with Dan Quayle. Dan Quayle was a very intelligent man who made a small snafu and paid for it.
Mm-hmm.
She's the person who makes a number of large mistakes, and that people still followed her anyway. And I'm kind of like, why are you people so interested in Sarah Palin when you just so summarily dismiss Dan Quayle for one simple little error? Because Dan Quayle really is a much more intelligent person, you know?
Well, I look at it, I looked at who Obama picked, Biden, and I'm like, come on, just as stupid, okay? And believe me, I grew up in the state right next to his, and he actually, unfortunately, comes from my home state. And I'm just like, and you think the world of Joe Biden, the hatred for Sarah Palin. I said, come on, guys, there's something going on here, because Joe Biden is basically the nation's idiot. You know?
Between Joe Biden and Sarah Palin and a couple others, we can supply a lot of villages with their local idiot.
Biggest thing with Palin too is I couldn't stand her voice. That used to, every time she'd come on and talk, I'd go.
Her voice didn't really bother me that much. It was kind of annoying. I'll agree with you there, but it was like, did this girl ever go to college? I mean, what kind of a degree did she get? Some kind of a basket weaving thing or something? I mean, she has like no concept of history. And as far as the East Coast is concerned, she doesn't even get the geography right. And there was another bright prospect that the Republicans had. What the hell was her name? I think she came out of like Minnesota or something.
I don't remember. No.
But she also got the early colonial history wrong. She couldn't understand, you know, what was going on with the Revolutionary War. And it's like, well, you know, this is like basic American history. You know, don't you get this? You know?
Yeah.
She was like, I think she was like in Concord, New Hampshire, talking about how the shot fired around the world happened here. And it's like, no, that's the next state down. You know, and it's like, oh, come on, girl.
Well, that's true.
You know, I mean, you got to know basic American history.
But then again, yeah,
are you talking about Bachman?
Yeah, it must have been Bachman.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That was her.
Yeah. Well,
she sounded so promising at first. And then, When she exposed that she had no knowledge of American history, it's like, you don't want this kind of person as a president. But I think the biggest problem that we have with our candidates is that they need to serve a full 4-year term of active duty military service before they should be allowed to be a commander in chief of this nation. And I don't want to hear some 2 years in the National Guard or 2 years of the reserve. Screw that. You need 4 years of active duty service in some of the one of the three branches of the American armed services.
I'm trying to think who would have been the last president.
The last one I think was Eisenhower, or maybe Nixon. I think
Kennedy.
Nixon
Kennedy
in the service. Oh, or Kennedy was.
Yeah, I don't think Nixon was in the service. Was he? Yeah, I don't think so.
Kennedy was.
Kennedy definitely was.
But the whole PP-109 thing, yeah. He was in the Navy.
Kennedy was probably the last one. Obviously, Eisenhower.
Yeah. But, you know, I don't... And Eisenhower was very smart about it. He came out, and he was not pro-military. He was the one that warned us that we had to protect ourselves from over-reliance on the whole military-industrial complex. You know, that was him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think we need people with that kind of understanding of the military in a civilian control of the military to be able to make the proper choices. I don't think you can expect someone that has no idea how the military operates, that has no military experience, to be commander-in-chief. You know, that's asking just any old person to be in charge of GE or any other major American corporation. You want them to have some understanding of your business and how your company works.
Yep.
You know, why should the presidency be any different? When you're expecting the president of the United States to be commander-in-chief of your military services, why do you not expect him to have some experience in the military?
Yep.
To me, that sounds like common sense.
It does. Oops.
Yeah. Jash is waiting for you to call him, by the way, Barry.
Oh, he wants me to call?
Yeah, he said he called you like 11 times and you didn't answer.
Really?
Hey, the Patriots have just beaten the Jets.
They did?
Hey, what was the score?
Let me see if
29-26, we beat them. They tied us and we got a field goal to win the game.
Hang on, Jash, I'm trying.
Oh, he's calling your cell phone. Because he keeps getting your voicemail.
What?
Oh, no, your voicemail on Skype is what he's getting.
Oh.
Yeah, call him.
You're right back.
Okay. I'm trying to find him. Hang on.
Hit the plus.
There is no plus.
What do you mean there is no plus? Did they change it again?
I have no plus. I've got you guys up here, and there is no plus.
You got to get up that black menu at the bottom with the camera and the microphone. There should be a plus there.
Yeah, I've got the camera, the microphone. Oh, there's the plus. Okay. It's funny, it was up above and it wasn't a plus up there. That's bizarre. Okay, add people. That's where I was. Now I gotta find Josh. I got 1,000 people in here. Hang on, Josh. I'm coming, Josh. Hang on.
He can't hear you.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, hello.
There he is.
Hello.
Kill the video. Okay.
Kill the video.
Yeah, kill the video, please.
Hey, like I tried calling you like 11 friggin' times, and it just went straight to your voicemail on Skype.
Well, I don't understand that because I'm here and I'm online. And
I know. I've been on since 6.
It's the only one.
I know.
It's the only one that I have on.
Well, check, because I left you 2 voicemail messages. So at some point, get a, you know, go ahead and check it, because I definitely called, and then I tried to call Barty.
Oh, I wonder if it's on my iPad.
Wait, but you said you were on since 6?
Since 6 o'clock.
Because you dropped completely off the contact list.
Yeah,
there.
You were offline.
Yeah, after a while, I got frustrated trying, so I started watching Call of Duty Modern Warfare 3 videos.
There you go. Productive use of time.
Oh, exactly. I was trying to figure out best weapon, and I was actually looking up Black Ops 2 when it gets released here on November the 13th.
Probably, if I'd been sitting at the house, the boys would have been going, "Hey, aren't you doing a show with Jash tonight? He's online."
No, because it said when I came up here, it said you were offline.
Oh, so. Interesting.
Hmm. Oh, well. You're I'm here back. Now. So we're on the second...
Yeah, I think we only got off the first top a couple of minutes
ago. Holy
mackerel. Jash!
Party!
Captain, my captain, how are you been?
I is pretty decent, hanging in there.
We need to meet online again so we can go into battle together.
Absolutely, I was with.
I can't say the same thing.
Absolutely, I was on with your son a couple days ago. We were ripping it up.
Awesome. He's a great teacher.
Yeah.
Between Adam and Cameron, they're the source of all of my modern warfare knowledge.
There you go. Absolutely. Good guys to play with. Actually, I was going to shoot over to his place Sunday. I was going to head up to his house.
And what were you saying, Michael? We kind of walked all over you there.
No, just that the kids are waiting for you guys to get back online so they can do battle.
We want you online.
As long as my advisors are there, I'll get it.
Yeah, I'm the same way. I kind of need to have my grandson telling me where to go and not to go.
That's too funny. My boy is actually a little bit PO'd because I've surpassed his skill level in playing Modern Warfare 3 and have prestiged 4 times.
Mm. Are you unemployed, Jash?
No, I just come home.
I was wondering how you get so much time to get that much skill level up.
Realistically, it's simple. When I usually come home from work, I'm usually pretty pissed off. So I get online.
You're looking for some ass to kick.
Exactly. So I jump on and I play all.
Jash, you're awesome, man. I see why Adam likes you so much.
Yeah, well, he's an awesome dude to play with, a good friend.
Yeah, he is. And I thank you for the compliment. But I can't take credit for that. His mom raised him well.
So you
so anyway, I guess we pretty much beat the presidential debate topic to death.
Yeah.
The Libyan embassy now, that has been a political football back and forth.
Yes.
You know, and I think neither candidate has really gotten that right. You know, I think there's a lot of credit to the fog of war argument that, you know, there was so much going on in so many parts of the world that, you know, one more incident in Libya was probably overlooked and quickly assessed as something else incorrectly. But then again, it's like these guys knew there were problems coming and they asked for further protection and none was forthcoming.
Exactly.
Why was that? How come, if they felt they were so threatened, and at least enough to ask for further assistance, why was that assistance not provided? Mm-hmm. Especially in a country like Libya, you know, where, like, this is not a stable country. It's not a country that is safe from uprisings and miscellaneous anarchy. So why would you not think that if you have an embassy there saying we need more protection, send us some forces, why wouldn't you think that they were worth, you know, credible in their request?
Because we wanted to show that we're not all military, we're not all guns, you know. The idea, the liberal idea is we'll go over there and show that we're human beings. Look, we don't have any weapons. We're trying to be friends. And, you know, this is the way, you know, we want to look. And, well, we saw where that got us.
Yeah, basically, it's a spineless
Germany and England. I'm sorry, Jash.
No, I was just saying it because it's a spineless administration. You know, the uber liberal, can't we all just get along? Look, we're not hostile. We can be your bestest buddy mentality that we've seen for the last 4 years. And it doesn't work. And people now, it's cost their lives.
Right. And oh, by the way, everybody seems to forget it happened on the anniversary of 9/11.
Oh, yeah, they're definitely, the media is definitely trying to sweep that one under the rug.
So, and there was no protest going on outside the embassy.
They blamed a friggin' YouTube video for it for 2 weeks until they got caught.
Right.
In the lie.
Even the Libyan government was saying right off the bat that this has nothing to do with the video. This has nothing to do with random terrorist activity. This is strictly a targeted attack. They were right up front saying this.
Right.
You know, it's like, okay, if they are saying this, who are we to tell them that they're wrong?
Right.
Yeah, well, and let me tell you, the embassies know. They're there. They see it every day. They've got more people there than just ambassadors.
They had a live
if you know what I mean. And they know what's going
footage.
On. Huh?
They had a live video feed of the outside of that embassy up to, I think I had heard on the radio, up to 4 hours before it was stormed.
I heard there was a drone in place and they got video off of it and they were actually watching it back in Washington.
Yes, and still didn't deploy any teams from any surrounding countries for support.
Well, how fast could, at that point, how fast could they have actually gotten anybody there?
Well, they had a drone in the air. They could have used it.
Right, exactly.
It depends what type of drone.
Yeah, I know. It might have been just a...
Some drones are only reconnaissance only. They don't all have weapons.
Right, but the idea behind it being is, I mean, at the very least, they said in 6 hours they could have had... Well, here's the thing. Feet on the ground could have been there in 6 hours. Zoomies could have been there in 25 minutes. So quite frankly, they could have, because they had a fleet sitting out off the ocean, 25 minutes they could have had fighter jets there, including Harriers.
The whole thing is if you just had a country who overturned their previous government, who actually killed their previous head of
nastily too.
Very nastily. You don't go in there without protection.
And especially since the government doesn't really have complete control of all of its territory.
Right.
They don't control all of the miscellaneous militias that are running around the country. They don't really control much of anything other than maybe the capital city.
That's right. So it's,
you know, it's pretty much a very lawless land that other entities are running roughshod in.
It's the Wild Wild West in a nutshell.
It is. That's
it's pretty much what Syria has become.
Yep.
I mean, there are so many foreign entities operating in Syria that you don't even know who you're shooting at anymore. The Turks complained about that. They wanted to shoot at Syrians for firing things into Turkey, and they're like complaining that, well, wait a minute, all this stuff isn't coming from Syrians. And, you know, they want to basically go into like a full all-out assault because they don't care who's shooting at them. They want it all to stop. And I don't blame them. You know, I want to protect my populace, you know, just like they would.
Well, that's,
and if that's what it takes, that's what it's going to take.
Well, that's what happens when you have
And
groups.
We're trying to tell them, calm down. Only target Syrian targets. It's like, but it's not just Syrian targets. It's not just Syrian entities that are firing at us.
But that's what happens, you know? when you're working with groups like the Taliban and Al-Qaeda, you know, because
exactly.
They don't have a country.
This is a totally destabilized area.
Yeah.
There is like no stable authority anywhere through the entire Middle East. You know, even Iran has problems trying to fight back the young people that want to have a more democratic society.
Yep.
I mean, they have shut down the entire internet access in and out of that country, trying to protect their trying to control the press.
Yeah.
Because they don't want people to know what's going on inside of Iran.
Right. Yeah.
Because they saw what happened in the rest of the Middle East when the world could see what was going on in those countries.
It's going to be an interesting third debate because it's all about foreign policy and well, yeah, the current administration's doing a crappy job.
Because Romney knows nothing about foreign affairs.
I know. That's
Romney couldn't even run Massachusetts right. Romney is a dumbass. He's slightly smarter than George Bush, but not much. You know, why the Republicans keep insisting on running idiots for office, I don't know. The last really decent guy they had was Bob Dole, you know? And, like, ever since him, there's been nobody. You know, and the Democrats aren't much better. They keep shoving socialist at us.
Yep.
You know, I'm going very, very libertarian in this election. I'm not going to write in Ron Paul. I'm going to write in Gary Johnson.
You don't have to write him in. He'll be on the ballot.
not if the Republicans have their way. The Republicans are going against the Constitution and trying to keep libertarians off the ballots in as many states as they can.
Can they do that?
That sucks. That sucks. Hmm. How can you legally do that?
I don't know. There's certain rules, and as long as you get enough signatures and stuff.
And they barred the Green Party and the Libertarian Party from having any part in these presidential debates.
Yeah.
Why? They not only barred, they arrested her. She showed up with her running mate at the last debate, and they arrested her.
Are you
serious? It wasn't on the news.
Yes, yeah, that was on the news.
It's becoming a police state where the Democrats and the Republicans are secretly one party that are just simply pretending to be on different sides.
That's right. You know, you probably got it right there.
Well, yeah. Come on. There's a lot of collusion going on.
The whole
there's
spectrum.
A lot of games playing going on. But in the final analysis, what really changes between a Democratic or Republican administration? Not much. When Reagan was in office, all the poor people got screwed, and the rich people got raises, and all the rich people got richer. You know, and during the Clinton years, everybody got more money because they were all ripping off everybody else, you know, raping the stock market like crazy. And then we ended up paying for it during the Bush years when the whole friggin' thing collapsed, and Bush had no clue what to do. He just ran around in circles, and said, duh, 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 well, you know, if I can get reelected. And he got reelected, and he says, guess what? In 4 years, you're rid of me, you know? And now we don't have any more of a clue than we did like 12 years ago. We're still just as friggin' screwed, and nothing is going to change because the rich are going to continue to get richer. They're still starting to tout this whole trickle-down economics theory that didn't work back in the Reagan years. It worked great for the rich people and a few upper-middle-class people, but everybody else got screwed. You know, and it's going to be the same thing all over again. So it's like, we have no hope.
But then you can't turn around, though. You can't turn around and say, okay, you've got too much money, so we're just going to take it from you and hand it out to the people.
No, you can't. But there has to be some sort of a middle ground, and nobody wants to hit it because everybody is cashing in for themselves, and all the people that aren't able to cash in for themselves are going to get screwed because they have no power. The only way this is going to change is if the proletariat rise up and kill all the rich. And then...
Okay, Adam.
And then they'll start noticing, oh, we got to make things different. You know, but the thing is all the voters keep voting in all the same old incumbents all the time, year after year, and wondering, well, why doesn't things change? Why is Congress not different? Well, guess what? Get rid of the people that have been there for 10 years or more. Get rid of the people that have been there for 8, maybe 6 years or more. Get all that old weight out of the way and bring in new people. They might not be better, but at least they'll be new, and you can keep voting them out until somebody with a bright idea shows up. You know? And nobody gets that because they all fall for the advertising. We need to eliminate television because that's...
There you go. Awesome. Party's on a soapbox tonight.
Where that came from? That they called, he shot the president. And it all came from there. I've been listening to some of my old Fireside Theater albums over the past few days.
Oh, really? It's
funny as hell.
Oh, I love Fireside Theater.
Replays. So, yeah. Folks, that was all political humor.
Yeah.
Not take your guns and go shooting rich people. Well, yeah, okay, if you can get away with it. who am I to say? Vote out all incumbents. That's the trick.
Yeah, that's the trick. But
stop listening to Rush Limbaugh. He's nothing but a lot of loud noise to make money. He's no different than Howard Stern.
Nope. They're all the same. But well, what you got to do is a legitimate third party has to start up.
But the thing is, the Republicans and the Democrats will team up and defeat the third party.
That's what I said. It'll never happen.
Ross Perot came out as a third party. That's what they did to him. Every time somebody shows up with a viable chance to create a third party, the Democrats and the Republicans team up and tear them down.
Yeah.
His daughter got kidnapped.
It's not going to work. We need to have like three or four additional parties show up at the same time.
Hmm.
And
so they can't get them all.
Control at the local level first, and then raise up at higher levels. Mm-hmm. And that's the only way it's going to change.
Hmm.
Yeah, well, good luck with
that.
There's
so much money involved.
Yeah, well, that's the big problem is money, money, money.
It ain't going to happen in my lifetime.
Say what?
I don't think it'll happen in my lifetime.
It won't happen in any of our lifetimes. And I just hope that my grandchildren's children's grandchildren will someday see this change. But I don't think it will.
You know, there was a group of veterans, I'll say. Some of them are retired, but from both Gulf Wars, who are trying to reintroduce the Whig Party, the new Whig Party.
Mm-hmm.
And I was reading it. They have a website and everything, and they seem pretty interesting. I follow where they're going with what they think. It would be sure interesting to see that party start to grow a little bit. Because when you say Libertarian Party, you know, everybody thinks, you know, Libertarian is a good idea, but then you look at the actual Libertarian Party, and they always get the wackos.
Yeah,
I mean, they got these wackos out there that claim to be libertarian. You're not libertarian. You're just a wacko.
Right, you're wacko looking to cling on to anybody that you can associate yourself with.
That needs meds.
Someone that will support you and provide you money to be able to field a campaign.
Yeah, but the Whig Party and their symbol is the owl, which I thought was pretty interesting. Well, they got some pretty good ideas, and maybe we should get more people interested in joining the Whig Party see if we can get that.
I was kind of interested in the original Tea Party interest when they first started.
Oh, you're a racist.
Because they were like really focused on the Constitution.
You're a terrorist and a racist.
That's the liberals saying that.
I know. But you teabagger.
yeah, you know. Well, I grew up in the area where we threw tea into the harbor. You know, that was my homeland.
Yeah.
You know, but I really do think that we need to get back to the basic premise of the American Constitution. We need to pay attention to the small details of the Constitution. Yep. Before we go forward, because we're making all these decisions based upon prepositions and suppositions and, you know, what the PhDs of the country feel. Mm-hmm. Screw that. Yeah. Let's get back to the Constitution. Oh,
the Intellectuals Party.
The bedrock of our country. Say what?
The Intellectuals Party. We're just too dumb to understand. And you should just listen to what the intellectuals.
Our fathers were not PhDs, but they understood things that today's PhDs can't comprehend.
Yeah.
Things like personal liberty, you know, and the Constitution lists all those things.
Right.
It details all those things,
and
I think we need to really pay a per letter attention to the details of the Constitution and say, hey, wait a minute here. We can't do this because the Constitution does not provide for it.
Yeah.
Like the Fed. Why does the Fed exist? The Constitution does not provide for it.
Well, it's a private organization.
Congress should take care of the Treasury. And so we should tell Congress, do this job or get out of office.
Well, the thing is the Fed is a private organization.
Exactly.
It just has Fed in its name.
Get rid of it.
Yeah. Well, I agree with you.
It should not exist.
The thing that, well, that's part of the central bank system.
And who controls it? The central bank.
That's right.
Wow, isn't that convenient? I say fuck the central.
Oh, we're getting into no. That's right.
Hell with the central bank.
We got an explicit tag.
We're late night.
We're you now.
Get rid of this. Make Congress do their jobs. Yeah. And if they don't want to do their jobs, then have them get out of office.
Yeah, well, you know, we're getting.
Yeah, well, hell.
Well, we'll see what happens.
The whole bottom line of the whole country's ills is we had a magnificent foundation built for our republic, and we don't follow it.
That's exactly
we
right.
We did for, you know, maybe 100 years.
You know, what really drove me nuts in the last debate when they started, when the woman brought up the topic of AK-47s in the street, and the president says, well, we believe in the Second Amendment. We believe that, you know, people can still have their guns to go hunting and to, you know, for sport and to protect themselves in their homes. And it's like, but, you know, but what we need to do is get these military-type guns off. Well, it's like, that's not what the Second Amendment says.
No,
the Second Amendment
exactly,
is to
Barry.
Go
the Second
against...
Second Amendment was to provide a possibility for us to keep those kind of weapons in case we had a government that we
exactly.
needed to
overthrow.
And
exactly.
that's what the Second Amendment says. It's
exactly.
not to go hunting.
And that's why we need these weapons to be legal in this country.
Hunting...
If we get a government that is so disgusting that we have to take arms to get rid of it, we need to have those arms available to do so.
Right. Hunting was taken for granted back then. You wanted to eat, you went hunting.
Exactly. Yeah. There was no damn grocery store. You didn't go down to the local A&P and buy your beef. You wanted some meat, you went and shot that crap.
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah, that's what the Second Amendment's all about. But apparently, that's not really what
liberals
it's about.
Are trying to change it because they're keen on the thing about this whole militia thing. Well, yeah, the militia is important. We need the kind of weapons because if we have an illegal government in charge, we need to be able to form proper militias to remove it.
Yes, obviously.
Because we had done that once before, back in the Founding Fathers' days. We needed militias to remove an improper government.
Body, body, body. Obviously, you need to go get a better education and let us intellectuals define what the Second Amendment
right.
means. All right. Well, we've taken... okay, that was the political part of the show.
Yeah, let's move on.
Okay, are we off the second subject yet?
Let's talk about what Apple's doing next week.
Let's go to Apple. I kind of said there was no Apple news, but I guess there was some more Apple news this week, as usual.
They just have a little announcement.
Yeah, well, we talked about the announcement last week, I think, because they had announced that they were going to have an announcement, and...
Now they really had an announcement that they really are going to have an event.
Yes, and now there's all sorts of rumors. Of course, we are all expecting the iPad Mini to be announced, but now...
Which is pretty much a foregone conclusion because a number of their manufacturers have already admitted that there's, 18 different part numbers for various...
Yeah, I read
variations.
Somewhere where there were, 24 variations of the iPad Mini, and I'm like, no.
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 What the hell?
That's crazy. 24 variations of a tablet. Yeah. There's rumors that
I think what they're looking at is they're looking at trying to wipe out all of the Amazon tablets and all of the smaller tablets from anybody else, like
right.
the Nook. Well, the Nook, the only reason why the Nook exists is because Microsoft is pumping money into them, you know. But I think they want to kill the Nook and weaken the 2 dozen Amazon miscellaneous tablets
and the Surface.
You know?
And the Surface
now from Apple, the fire extinguisher.
Yeah, good one, Michael. I like that.
Well, there's rumors also that there might be a relaunch of the regular iPad with the new connector. I don't know whether that's going to happen, because I think it's that would be out of cycle for the next iPad.
Yeah, I agree with you, Barry. I think that's going to happen a little bit later. But, you know, they're also talking about that there may be a new Mac Pro 13-inch with a Retina display coming out.
Yes, I've heard that too.
The biggest thing is that the Mac Mini should be upgraded, because Mac Mini stock supplies have been dropping dramatically all across the miscellaneous retailers. It's almost impossible to buy a Mac Mini anymore.
Right. So that's probably a good rumor.
If you want one, I wouldn't go buying one now.
And you know what's interesting? I was listening to MacBreak Weekly. It's probably a couple weeks old. I'm behind on the weekly ones. But they were talking about people that used to buy the Mac Pros, and it looks like they've done away with the Mac Pro, or they're getting close to not putting it out there anymore. But it's interesting, because what people are doing instead of Mac Pros, they're going out and buying the high-end Mac Minis putting them together, networking them together and stuff like that for servers, because they are great little servers.
Yeah.
So it'd be funny if the Mac Mini is the is their new, you know, desktop machine.
Well, I don't know. There's been rumors that there's the Ivy Bridge processor upgrade that Intel came out with is going to be coming to the iMac series soon. Well,
the iMac, the iMac will be the desktop. I really shouldn't have said the desktop, but like the worker bee. Like, you know, the people that have to do a lot of work and work in video and stuff, they network all these Mac Minis together, and they just stack them up in a back room, and they're cheap enough that, you know, they can put a ton of them back there.
How does that compare with like a Mac Pro, though?
Well, they're not doing
Wouldn't you rather do like video and audio and a lot of photo work on a Mac Pro than you would a Mac Mini?
Yeah, as long as you can cluster them, what's the difference?
Well, that's true. That's a good point. If you could have like, you know, two or three Mac Minis working together as one, that would be pretty much synonymous if you had enough memory as a Mac Pro.
And it gives you a little more buying power, because if you needed to add more power, well, it's certainly cheaper to buy a few more Mac Minis and throw them into the cluster than to go out and buy three or four Mac Pros, you know, because those things. I priced out a full out Mac Pro
once. You can do a lot of work with one Mac Pro, though. Yeah.
I did a, just for kicks, I priced out a full out Mac Pro with the Macs you could get and everything, and, you know, maxed it out completely. And the price tag was between $14,000 and $15,000
for one machine. What the hell were you buying?
that was maxing out the memory, maxing out the disk.
Buying the $5,000 NVIDIA card.
Yep. You just max it out total, and it was like $14,000 and some change for a Mac Pro.
Well, that's not a whole lot different if you were to buy like the very highest end PC, though.
Oh, and it's true. I was going to say that's about the same price we pay for our servers.
Well, you know, the highest-end PC, which I ought to put a caveat in here, because you can buy the highest-end PC with the same technical specs for probably $200 or $300 less, but you're going to have a plastic case with a plastic keyboard of plastic keys. Where with a Mac, you're going to buy a Mac Pro with a solid aluminum case, no spaghetti wire connections on the inside, and you're going to get a solid aluminum keyboard with very firm-feeling keys that's wireless, and a wireless mouse that looks so sexy that you wish to marry it. I love my... You know, this Magic Mouse is, to me, totally awesome. I don't really like all the touchy-feely parts of it, because it does so much that, you know, I'm like too old to understand all the miscellaneous touch things that it does, because I make all these crazy accidental touches on this thing, and it does all this crazy stuff. And it's like, well, you know, if I was like probably like 15 years younger, it would probably be all like all natural and, you know, like the way you see like people on science fiction shows controlling spaceships. You know, they do all these simple little touches and all this stuff happens. You can do that with this mouse, but I'm too old to figure out all the simple touches. I'm still trying to treat it like an old mouse, you know, with buttons, you know. Okay, if I push it, it'll do this. But, you know, there's so many finger options available that I can't keep up with it all.
Yeah.
But the way it looks, it's such a really sleek, sexy mouse.
Yeah.
It's like, my God, even if this thing did half the stuff it did, I would buy it just because it looks so freaking good.
I'm a big fan of their giant touchpad. I like the big, you know, the...
Yeah. Well, like I haven't bought that thing yet. I've been tempted to, but, you know, one because more thing that I can't touch correctly just kind of pisses me off.
Well, it's multi-touch, too, and there's, like, you know, you can do...
All,
I know. I was going to say, you don't like the touchpad? The whole top of that mouse is a touchpad.
Exactly. I mean, I touch it accidentally some way, and some weird thing happens on my Mac, and I'm like, what the hell did I just do?
Oh, my God.
It's too touch sensitive. You know, I'm not so touchy feely kind of guy. You know,
does it make sounds when you touch it? Does it go?
It like purrs. It purrs.
I wonder if I can program it to do that. You know what? I bet you probably can.
Like a triple sound.
Oh, I was about to say, new from Apple, the iTriple.
Klingon. Every time we touch this mouse, it made it sound like a triple.
Oh my God!
We've gone from Libya to the Klingon Empire
and tribbles.
How about if we go down? Let's come back down to Earth and talk about Atlas Shrugged.
Atlas Shrugged, excellent book. By
Ayn Rand.
Huh?
Ayn Rand.
It's the next thing in the show notes. I figured I'd try to keep the show fluid. Let's move on.
Well, I don't want to. I just threw it in there just to touch on it real briefly, but based upon everything we had spoken about with regards to governmental control, the Second Amendment, the presidential debates. Yeah.
Oh, I'm just saying it's a famous book, and if you No Agenda talks about it all the time.
Oh, okay.
And it's actually you can go on. I believe it's on Netflix now. They're making a two-part movie of the book because the book is huge.
Yes.
And
but you can buy the book for $7.99 off of Amazon, the audio book.
Yeah, okay. But the
is that the Kindle version, Jash?
Because,
you know, all of us Apple folks want to read it on our tablets.
Well, you could go with the Kindle version, yes. But the first half of that movie is available on Netflix, and the second part is coming out actually in the movie theaters, I think, this fall. So well, we're into fall, so it should be coming out soon.
Right, and it'll scare the shit out of you, pardon my French, because it's exactly what we're watching happening now.
That's what modern history has done to me.
Yep.
Yeah.
Scared the living crap out of me.
Yeah. So, but it's definitely a good book to check out. Of course, if you're a flaming liberal, you hate that book.
Oh, absolutely.
I was one of those guys that grew up scared of the Soviet Union, you know, we had to put our heads underneath our desks.
There we go.
In case there was an atomic bomb blast, like our simple little plain pine desk would protect our simple little heads.
Yeah.
You know, I grew up with that.
So I got
scared of the Soviet Union. Now I'm scared of my own friggin' government, not some foreign government.
Actually, Ayn Rand is hate. All extreme left liberals hate it, and all right, extreme right wing people hate it. So
because it's the crystal ball what they're doing.
Yeah.
And it tells you what they're going to do and how they're going to do it and why before they do it.
I read it back in high school.
Yeah. Michael, play that again.
Did it come through?
Yes, it did.
Okay. Although I can bring it up. Hang on. We'll
do it one more time.
I can't hear the monitor.
One more time.
Another.
Atlas Shrugged. By Ayn Rand.
Very good.
Okay.
A free No Agenda commercial. In the morning. Hey, everybody.
In the morning.
Do you have win, lose, or drone?
Oh, gee. Put me on the spot. Anyway. I'm not sure he put that one on.
He probably doesn't have that on the soundboard. We ought to go check to see if there's a new soundboard available. I love that
one.
Well,
I keep this up to date, but...
They have a thing, and it sounds like a Wheel of Fortune type thing, but it goes, win, lose, or drone!
Yeah, I don't see it on here.
That's okay. Barry just did it.
No, but they do it.
Oh, no.
It sounds great. No, I didn't do it any justice at all. We'll have to bug those guys.
So let's move on to Microsoft news.
Yes, Microsoft. Oh, man, all stuff. The Surface is available. You can order it now.
Oh, but it's already back ordered.
But isn't it just the RT version?
Yes, that's okay. All it's available now. But it was really funny because they put it on. They released it for pre-order last week, and it's already back ordered.
Yeah, that's a good sign for them. That's
well, it depends how many they're creating at a time, you know.
Yeah, well, we only plan to make three.
So you know,
but no, that's good for them. And although I've heard a lot of people say you don't really want the RT one, you want the full out one, which of course will be the $800 one probably.
But the projections on the price I've seen is they're talking like Microsoft might want to sell it for like $800 or $900.
Yeah.
Holy crap!
That's the price I will probably pass.
No kidding. Apple's looking even better.
Yeah. Well, if you get a full up.
$15,000 friggin' Mac Air or whatever.
I'm saying the iPad. If you max it out, it's up around $800.
Okay, well, then
if you get the full 3G, 4G enabled one, yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
But, you know, I want to buy a Wi-Fi capable one. I don't want to spend no $800 for it.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Besides,
and I don't want the RT version.
Yeah, the iPad mini. Hey, guys, there you go. $200.
Yeah, we don't know that yet. We'll find out on the 23rd. I'm hoping it's that low.
I think the most of the price projections I've seen has been around $300.
Yeah, that's what I heard too. I have a feeling. I think it's going to be $299.
Okay,
be the price. Maybe what? The low one. They might make an 8 gig one for $249. Maybe if they really want to compete.
Right. You know what though? If they were smart, they would go along with Jash's idea and have one that's Wi-Fi only.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
For $200.
Well, yeah. Actually, the rumor is they might all be Wi-Fi only.
So no, they're already talking about like eight or ten different versions. I mean, they're talking about Wi-Fi, 3G, 4G, and all kinds of different variations.
I've heard that, but then there's some people say no, they're going to make it Wi-Fi only, and it's not going to have the Retina display.
Right, you don't need it, but you still get an iPad mini, all the features and bells and whistles, with the exception that I don't care if it has Retina display.
Yeah.
I wear glasses anyway.
Well, if you like high def video, you might to have a Retina display.
Yeah, but I mean, by default, looking at the iPad 2 screen, it looks high def while you watch a movie on it. Anyhow,
the iPad 2 is not high def.
I know that, but it looks high def is what I'm trying to say. A computer monitor by default is high def.
Not really. It depends on your graphics card.
Well, I know I've seen the iPad 3 and I've seen the iPad 2, and I can only say this from my old eyes is I don't notice much of a difference.
It ain't worth the extra $200. Depends what you're watching.
Yeah, I have an iPad 2 and an iPad 3, and when I watch standard def videos, they look the same, but a high def video looks different on the iPad 3 than it does on the 2.
Now my thing about that though is if I really want to watch a movie in good high def, I'm going to watch it on my 50 inch high def TV.
Exactly.
If I'm watching it on an iPad, I don't care.
unless you're on an airplane.
Yeah. I don't care.
If you're on an airplane, you know what?
Compared to their screens in the airplane?
Yeah, what did you used to have to do when you took a flight on an airplane? You used to have to read the magazine in front of you before laptops and tablet computers.
Yeah. And currently, even the most modern planes, you don't really have... Their screens aren't very high def. You guys are breaking up.
Yeah. I can hear you fine.
Okay.
Jash, Jash, come back to us, Jash.
I'm here.
I think both of you tried to talk at the same time, and Skype cut you both out.
That was Microsoft.
So, but I don't know. I mean, the next time I have to go buy a new iPad, obviously, you know, if I get a full-size iPad, I'm going to get the Retina display. But what I'm saying is, looking at them side by side, and again, my eyes are getting old, I don't notice that much of a difference between them.
Well, it also depends what you're doing with it.
So,
like, I've talked to my wife. I told her that the rumors that Apple's coming out with a smaller size iPad, and she's excited about it. She has told me that she would rather have a smaller size iPad that does all the stuff that her full size one does, and she doesn't care if it has a Retina display or not because she doesn't watch movies on it.
Exactly. Yeah. You read the mail and surf the net.
Yeah.
Well, she does. She does Facebook and email and text messaging and things like
that. Social media.
And she shops on Amazon and things like that. And she says that if she needs a clearer image of something that she's buying on Amazon, she'll kick me off my computer and look on my screen.
There you go.
I'm right there on the same
and I'm like, wait a minute.
I totally agree with her. You know what? This is going to be one-stop shop. Let me put it to you in a simpler, probably more layman's way of thinking. If Apple is smart, and you got all these people who are on the fence, like me, who say, boy, a smaller tablet would be great with the features and the build quality of an Apple, but at a price that I'm willing to pay, which is comparative to an Android product, but I get the Apple name and I get the Apple quality. And yes, I have to give up a Retina display, and I don't give a flying fart if it has 4G, 5G, 27G. Just give me Wi-Fi. I will commit and buy into an Apple product. If they
My wife is.
Right.
She doesn't care about the capacity or anything, all that kind of crap, because she's comparing it to a Kindle. And the Kindle Fire, we bought that when it came out, and she looked at it, it's okay, but I read books on it. I read books on my iPad, and I read books on my old Kindle. I don't need this Kindle. Right. And she tosses it aside. And so now the Kindle sits around unused because the only thing I do with it is just kind of play with it and experiment and see what I can do. Mm-hmm. She's like not interested. She wants to read Kindle books. She can read Kindle books on her iPad. Yep. She can read Kindle books on her Kindle 2, and she's satisfied with that. And with the iPad, she can go on the internet and go to Facebook and do web searches with and browse on Safari and things like that. And she's satisfied with that. She doesn't use email a whole lot, so she's happy that she can get email when she wants to. When I force her to not ignore it anymore, because look, Tony, you got all these emails you need to read. She goes, I don't want to read those. I said, all right, I'll delete them for you. So when there's an email message she wants to respond to, it's there, and she's happy with that. She doesn't really want to carry around this great big thing.
Exactly.
She's interested in something about the size of a Kindle that does more than a Kindle does.
Bingo.
And the Kindle Fire never excited her because we bought one, and I says, well, how about this? And she says, I like the size because I can put it in most of my purses.
Right.
Most. Because she has I'm not going to touch that subject because I'll get in trouble. Yeah. But she has, numerous purses, and she can fit this into most of them, and she likes that.
Right.
So if she can get an iPad that's the size of the Kindle Fire, she says, I would rather have this than a full-size Kindle.
Right.
Yep.
I mean, a full-size iPad, because I can use a full-size iPad at home when I want a bigger screen.
Right.
But when I'm running around town, all I need is something I can fit in my purse.
And I understand that totally, because it
comes to all... Do you carry a purse, Barry?
No. Well, yes.
It's not got a purse.
I knew it.
It's a man purse.
It's a man satchel.
Yes, it's a satchel. Please. But I understand, because it's like, even wandering around the house, I like to watch things on my iPad. I use my iPad every night and stuff for different things. But it's like, I got to run out into the kitchen and do something. Yeah, the iPad's too bulky to take out there and stuff, so I'll just grab the iPhone, and that's really too small, but it's much easier and convenient to prop that up. And
I don't have an iPhone yet. So. It should have been shipped Friday.
Oh, did you get a company one?
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a bunch of people at work we're ordering them.
So I'm kind of waiting for that to arrive. But, well, you know, I don't mind carrying around my iPhone. I mean, my iPad. I kind of like the screen size, because being a person who has to wear glasses to read, I like having a screen big enough where I can read most things without having to stick my stupid reading glasses on.
Well, I'm talking about, like, I'll run outside in the garage to do something. And it's like, I'm not taking the iPad with me because I'm worried it's going to fall down and get hurt. And there's no place really to put it. So, you know, it's like, well, I'll just take the iPhone and, you know, I can prop that up somewhere. It's easier to find a place to prop that thing up. And, yeah, the video is a little smaller, but it's good enough because I'm usually just watching a video podcast or something. But a 7-inch one. Well, I would probably take that out in the garage because you could probably find a place to put that. And,
it's a little more convenient. Because I would use my original iPad because I've got a case that also serves as a stand. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I don't really have any problem, you know. Mm-hmm. And I'm not really the kind of person that's going to worry about it getting hit or damaged very much because I'm kind of anal about making sure it's out of the way of most of my work activity.
Yeah.
You know?
We'll see. The other thing is the, you know, the 7-inch one's going to be much cheaper. So we're assuming, hopefully, well, if they're smart. If they make it too expensive, they're going to lose. Because
I think the main key is the entry-level model needs to be dirt friggin' cheap.
Yep.
They need to have a Wi-Fi only 8 gig of RAM model that is $200. Yeah. That will be an awesome entry point. And I think a lot of people will buy those and then maybe move on to higher capacity, higher processing capability machines above that. But I think that the main entry model needs to be dirt cheap. They need to basically settle upon a very, very un-Apple concept of the Walmart thing of a lost leader.
Mm-hmm.
I think that is what is necessary right now.
Right.
If they want to shut down Amazon, they want to shut down Android, the best way is to come up with a loss leader that is so dirt cheap, that is Wi-Fi only, with 8 gig of memory, that is so cheap, everybody will buy it and forget everybody else.
And now they got Microsoft to worry about.
And then move on from there when they want more capability or more storage.
Yep, and now they got Microsoft to worry about too. So,
be smart. I think they need to start from the bottom up.
Now,
trickle down economics didn't work for anybody but the rich and the upper middle class in the Reagan years, and it's not going to work in high tech. They need to start from the bottom up, build the bottom up from people who just want to buy Apple products, make it easy for them to get into the Apple ecosphere, and then build up from there. That's the whole thing.
Well, it's a perfect example, and I couldn't agree with you more. And being the one of those people, let me put it in this, again, say it in this fashion. I bought iPod Touches for the kids, my very first Apple purchase of any Apple product ever, and I was thoroughly impressed with how well they worked. The different generations, but the point being, wow, these things were a little pricey, but geez, look at this thing work. I'm really impressed. Now, let's go one step further. Now we're going to talk about personal computing, not just a player that can do games and a few other things. Well, you want me to spend a little bit more, but for all intents and purposes, let's for a moment pretend I've never seen an Apple iPad. Ever. Mm-hmm. Okay? Now that point being is I can't see just how well it can process data and get on the internet and how easy it is to use until I walk into a store. call it Best Buy, call it Fry Daddy's, I don't give a shit what you call it. And there's one, and the 7-inch iPad, like you're saying, Barty, in front of me on the left, and the Google whatever the hell it is on the right. And I get to sit there for the very first time, look at these two different pads, and play with the one on the left, and then play with the one on the right. And I'm going to go, wow, this one on this Apple is comparatively priced to the one on the right, but just look how much more smoothly it functions. I will buy that one. And you're right. It's the perfect. You do it. If Apple marketing is smart, they will do it that way for people just like me. And then once it's proven itself to me, because now I own one for $299, mm-hmm. I won't see it as much of a gap to say I want to upgrade. Yes, it's more money than the competitions, but it's Apple, and I know how well it works.
Right, and that's the way it works. I mean,
you stop thinking about the price, yep. and you start saying to yourself, damn, this thing is good.
It's Apple.
It's worth it.
Yep. Right. It's Apple. I'll buy it because that's how fanboys are made.
But that's not the way it has worked in the past.
No, it hasn't.
Because in the past, Apple sold superior products to the Wintel world, and they tried to sell them in places like Best Buy and CompUSA mm-hmm. and Circuit City, who 2 out of 3 don't exist anymore, and other retailers. Yep. And most of the store personnel had no idea what an Apple was. Mm-hmm. They barely knew what the word Macintosh meant. Mm-hmm. And they had no clue at all as to the history.
Right.
You know, so people would come in and want to know what about this Apple. And they were like, well, I don't know about that, but let me show you what this Windows machine does.
Right.
Because they have one at home, and mm-hmm. they can talk about that. Mm-hmm. So right. Apple went to the extent of trying to create an Apple store in a store in CompUSA stores. Mm-hmm. And that worked to a limited extent, except that not all CompUSA stores could hire Apple intelligent salespeople. And it was the same kind of effect. That is what led Apple to say, screw all these assholes. We're going to make our own stores where we have people that talk nothing but Apple. Mm-hmm. And when the customer walks in the store and wants to know, why should I spend extra money on this freaking machine other than the one that's down at Best Buy for $500 cheaper, mm-hmm. they've got an intelligent person that can give them a meaningful answer. Mm-hmm. And Microsoft now wants to start making up Microsoft stores yep. along the Apple Store model.
They
because
look
Apple
identical.
Has been wildly successful. And that was one of the main things that turned Apple around, was the Apple Store. Everybody thought, this is a stupid idea. Best Buy's having trouble. Circuit City's having trouble. Other companies are having trouble. CompUSA. And you want to open your own line of stores? How is that going to work?
It works.
You're selling a niche product instead of a mass consumption product. But you know what? It worked like hell. People yep. walked in, they saw Macs, and they would talk to Mac people that could give them an intelligent response to a question about, why should I spend more money for this freaking piece of box right. than that one?
Well, you know? it's only worked up to a certain point, and here's why.
It worked fantastically. It completely turned Apple computer around.
Right.
Apple was a dying company until Steve Jobs came back and opened all these stores, and then everybody went to an Apple store and saw an Apple computer presented as something fantastic. It was a pristine environment showing pristine computers in a favorable, pretty environment. And everybody there was all happy to be selling Apple products.
Mm-hmm. All right.
And it sold wildly. It's been so successful that Microsoft wants to copy Apple yet again.
Yep. It looks identical, too. I've seen a picture of one of the new Microsoft
stores. Well, because it's a formula that works.
Yeah.
And it's not just Apple. A lot of high-end fashion design stores have used the same process for decades.
Crate and Barrel.
You know? So it's not just a high-tech phenomena.
Have you ever walked into it?
This is a simple marketing tool.
Yeah. Have you ever walked into a Crate and Barrel? They're very similar.
Yeah, yeah. And I like buying from Crate and Barrel.
Yeah. Well, going back real quickly, because this is just a short note, and I... not going to elaborate on it because I don't know that much about it. It just a news item that came out this week because we were talking about 4K TVs and how we'd all rather have a 4K TV than a four-hour erection.
Well, I don't know. A four-hour erection is nice, you know, depending how your wife is feeling about it.
Yeah, but well, forget about the term 4K because it's right out. It's gone. It's never going to even make it to market. They've come up with a new name, and this is what you're going to hear at the next CES. Ultra HD. That is what it's going to be called. And that's because they may even skip 4K and go right to 8K.
Yeah.
So that was just it. I just wanted to mention that because we were talking about high-def things, but you're going to be hearing Ultra HD soon.
I have one thing for that marketing manager that came up with that, and this is it.
Win, lose, or draw!
Hey, everybody, welcome to Win, Lose, or Drone! Yes, we're stealing this idea directly from the No Agenda podcast.
Yeah.
Including their sound effects.
Right.
Unbelievable. You know, it's like, hey, let's call it Ultra.
No Agenda.
That guy's worth his six figures, you know, his 290K a year in marketing. Well, we'll call it Ultra. Why? I'm a genius. You know, okay there, Chief. Yeah, you earned every penny of your salary.
Well, that's what we're going to hear. Ultra high def. Mm-hmm. So, all right, it's time, and I'll make this short, but it's time because I have to make my yearly political sign rant.
I agree with you.
Because, especially,
forth, whatever it takes.
Because I live in New England. Okay. I live in the western part in small towns where they're very beautiful this time of year with the leaves changing color. And again, like I said, most, if you go out to most of these towns, it's, you got a Currier and Ives feeling, you know, with the old New England homes and the views and everything. And what happens this time of year? It's all crapped up with frickin' political signs everywhere. Yep. Now, I don't mind if you want to put a political sign up, one political sign up in your yard to show your support. And I don't mind maybe one political sign per candidate at an intersection, but this freaking contest to see how many political signs we can put up for your candidate in one location has got to go. And it's too late now, but I'm thinking next year, and if you guys want to help out, I think we should get an online thing going to freaking, I gotta check into the rules and regulations, but if it's their First Amendment right to put up political signs in areas of the public area, I think it's our First Amendment right to take them down. And just don't steal them, just put them down.
No, heck, there's people already down in Massachusetts that are defecating on Scott Brown signs on people's private property.
Well, I'm the intersection of 101 and 202 in Peterborough, New Hampshire, particularly. I come up and they've got a right-hand turn lane to go down, and it's cordoned off, you know, so there's a little grassy thing at the intersection, and that thing and the other ones, because they have right-hand turns on every
quarter
of the the intersection, there are so full of political signs that I was actually trying to get out onto 101 and I couldn't see the frickin' traffic because of these stupid political signs. Yeah. They were blocking my view. I had to inch my way out almost onto 101 before I could see whether I could go or not.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's ridiculous. It's got to stop. I mean, it just craps up. It makes the town look terrible. It's too late to do it this year, but I'm thinking next year we're going to put website up.
I played it too early. I should have done the drone for this one. Drone those signs.
Drone the signs. That's it, man.
Yeah, we don't have a whole lot of that here in Redfield because we don't have that many choices on our ballot for local local elections. I mean, I think we have one new guy for what the hell is he running for?
For Butcher.
No, I think he wants to become the something in the town, like town clerk or something like that. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's like I look at his picture. It's like, what, did he graduate from high school last year? And now he's looking for a job?
Yeah.
But, you know, it's a part-time job.
Well, these things...
he's not going to get much money out of this. But, you know, here in a town of that has a population drop, when we moved here in 2004, we had a population of 650. Now we're down to, like, 500. You know, we don't really have a whole lot of issues. As long as the snow gets cleared in the winter, most of us are pretty darn happy. You know? So, you know, we don't want to rock the boat. We don't want a new town clerk. You know, the one that we've had for the past bunch of years is doing a good job. So, you know, we're not going to rock the boat.
I'm talking about, you know, this is the, you know, like I said, one or two signs, you know, okay. But we're talking about, this is what you see if you go up to that intersection. You know, there'll be like the first group that went up there, and I'm talking just, this is just one side of the street, okay? This is one little medium thing, okay? The Romney people come in and put 15 Romney signs up. 15! Right, boom, 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 right? So, oh my God, the Obama group. Oh my God, that's terrible. So what they do is they come in and put an Obama sign on either side of each of the 15 Romney signs. Yeah. Two signs for every...
Rome, on my way to work. The same kind of thing there, because, you know, that's a small city that is struggling economically ever since Griffiths closed. You know, there's some activity still going on out there, but, you know, obviously the city has been economically depressed ever since. So, you know, there's quite a lot of political discussion about how they're going to fix this. And, of course, they still haven't, you know. So we see the same kind of thing. When I'm driving to work, when I get to Rome, there's, like, political signs all over the place.
It's totally ridiculous.
For all sorts of local and state positions and things.
Yeah, because we're electing a governor this year too, so the governors are just as bad. So that's why I said, okay, that's my short rant for the yearly rant for the political signs. And I think next year I'm going to start organizing. Maybe we can put a website up and see if we can get people to agree. Maybe we can.
Well, I think
freaking limit the number of
the only way you can get around that would be to pass a town or.
Uh-oh, you there, Barty?
Ordinance against Can you hear me?
Yeah, it was like you went, oh! And then it waited like 3 seconds, and then it you finished the word. It was weird.
The only way you can beat that would be to have the whole town decide to pass a town ordinance against it.
Yeah. I agree, but, you know, somebody's got to start the discussion, as people say.
Well, because it's freaking ridiculous. And complaining.
Yeah. I'm definitely going to start something up here, and see, because I'm sure that I'm not the only person that gets bothered by these freaking signs.
Well, you know, I kind of think that's one of those topics that until one person complains about it, nobody's going to say anything. Yeah. But as soon as one person complains and says, hey, look, I don't like this, you're probably going to have, like, hundreds of people show up and say, yeah, I don't like this either. Cut this crap out.
All right, well, we're going to see next year. It's too late now. We can't do it because...
Yeah, that's for sure.
Yeah, but next year, I think, or the, maybe it might be... there's nothing big going on next year.
Well, middle of summer.
Yeah.
Midsummer.
Well, I'm talking
to start it up.
Yeah, we'll start something because it's totally ridiculous. So, with that, we're going to go to Michael. What's that?
Wait a minute.
What?
You can't do this next summer. The world's going to end in December 23rd.
Damn.
Oh, come on. Didn't you see the... Oh, no, that's right. You probably don't see what I post on my regular Facebook thing. I'll have to post this thing about the Mayan calendar. The guy, there was a cartoon where it showed a Mayan punching out the calendar on a great big wheel.
Yeah.
And he says, damn, I ran out of time in 2012. And somebody else showed the next guy saying, whoa, that's really going to piss somebody off in the future.
Yeah, I saw that. That was great. So Michael.
Yes.
Michael.
Michael.
When's the next virtual Uper coming out?
Don't put him on the spot there.
No, I've been working on it, and I've been working on it, and I just, I can't do my natural virtual Uper on GarageBand. I've been trying. So I it's not the way I'm used to doing things. So I pull up Ubercaster. You know what? Ubercaster's, you can't buy it anymore.
It's gone?
Well, the website's there.
Yeah.
And you can even download a version that'll run on Lion, but you can't buy the full version, so it won't do more than a five-minute podcast.
You're kidding.
So I've got an email into him going, you know, what's the story here? Mm. And I read his blog. He was having some issues with Lion and Mountain Lion. Mm. But you can't buy it right now. And I'm like, well, can I? You know, get back to me. I've got, for all the good it's done, I've got contact information in the Mevio saying, is there anything I can do about this license that I have for the software that I bought from you guys that I can't use? They just acknowledge the ticket report, and that's, I think, as far as that's going to go.
Overcast blaster.
Yeah. Yeah. And I can't issue. And I can't get the levels to work right on my Mac anyhow with Studio Rec.
Really?
Both I've got level issues, and I've got propagation delay issues like crazy on that program running it on the Mac.
What problem are you running into with GarageBand?
It's just not a natural program for me as far as the way I'm used to doing things from a DJ standpoint.
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah, you really can't do it like you could with Cast Blaster, but it's not. I was able to adapt to it because I think the last couple years of the BartyCast that I did were all done with the GarageBand.
I just haven't been able. I guess that maybe I'm not picking something up, but I'm used to just start talking, and when I'm ready to cue up a song, I cue it, and I have. You know, basically, as Barry had brought up on the last show, I've got all of the equivalent of my cartridges all ready to go, and I've got them all pre-programmed with fade-ins and fade-outs when I want to do them, plus a manual override if I want to run the slider on it. And I just start talking, and when I feel it's time for a song, I bring it in. Mm-hmm. With GarageBand,
you can't do that with GarageBand.
With GarageBand,
usually the way I was working it is I would talk for a while, you know, I would hit record, start talking, I would have a separate track set aside just for my vocal, and I would talk and things, and then I would stop the recording, and I would drag the song in and make it as a separate track, and kind of like clue it in roughly to where I stopped talking, and then, you know, go through the end of that track, and then towards the end of it, I would pick up my vocal on my vocal track and, you know, talk about the band or whatever, and, yeah, and do it from there.
Yeah.
No, I understand now, that, and that's how I've been trying to
do. If you
want to
spend a lot of time and make it very, very specific for Apple people, especially those on iTunes, you can. I did this for maybe like 20, 30 episodes before I kind of figured this is like way too much time. But you can break down your podcast into individual chapters that, you know, has all your dialogue separate, all the music separate, and when somebody looks at it in iTunes, they can see all the chapters and just play the individual chapters. But that was like so much freaking work that I just kind of gave it up after a while because it was just, like I said, just it took too much time to do all that.
Well,
it was, the product was like fantastic at the end because you would have like the highest quality audio, the highest quality video, and the highest quality photo of anything you wanted to throw into that. But the file size was enormous.
Well, it's huge, but also the other thing is you got to remember that there's more than just Apple people out there listening to it.
Yeah. I switched away from that when I started growing a larger Zune audience, and I switched back to a smaller file size for them because they were saying that they wanted to get it, but they weren't able to.
Right.
So I switched back to a regular M4A version that they could use, mm-hmm, that didn't have all the chapters and saw all of that stuff in it, and you know, specifically for them because after my one all-time largest podcast that they advertise free sex, free porn. Sorry, it's only just another Barty cast. That episode pretty much created me an enormous audience, especially in the Zune marketplace. So I cut back and made things that were more Zune specific because that's where my biggest audience was, you know? And I mean, how could I ignore them, you know? But that's where the biggest audience was. So I made things that were more accessible to them than to Apple. And, you know, the M4A format works just as well in the Zune marketplace as it does in Apple. And it's a higher fidelity than MP3, you know, which for the vocal parts that I was talking about in between songs and things did make a difference. But it did make the songs sound a lot better, which is what I was, you know, primarily interested in because I was just trying to get the independent artist to be heard.
Yeah. Well, Michael, I can make a suggestion. I think I did this last time, but I definitely go check out Soundboard.
Yeah, I'm going to have to try it again because when I Googled that, I got all kinds of stuff that I don't think was what you were recommending.
It's called Soundboard. Matter of fact, they've got a Soundboard for the iPad and app, but that's different. They make a Soundboard for the Mac. Yeah, regular application, and you can set that up as a what you're looking for is a cart machine type thing where you can load those.
Does that
up.
Work a lot like Cast Blaster?
It's but all you do is play. I don't know whether you can record with. I don't think you can record, but with GarageBand you could do a single track. And of course, if you use that with GarageBand, you should be able to dynamically record it right off of from Soundboard. All right, so that would be
I understand what you're trying. Yeah, the long and short of it is I've spent I don't know how many hours on this PAB episode that I really want to release, but when it comes down to it, I'm not having any fun. I've got something that sounds great, but you know, I think part of what really drew people to the Virtual Uper is Saturday night, I have a beer, sit down, and I'm comfortable, I'm having a good time, and I'm having a good time when I'm recording it, and I think it comes through on the show.
Yep.
And if it's work, it's going to sound like I'm working.
Right.
So I'm getting pretty frustrated about this. I'll try the Soundboard approach, and I mean, I'm ready to just say screw it and write something from scratch if I had to.
I was going to say, we need to come up with our own.
I mean, I'm capable of doing it, but I'm really trying to research what's already been done out there already first. So,
yeah, really, why reinvent the wheel if you can find something that rolls for you?
Right, absolutely.
Problem is,
I miss doing the show. I really do miss doing the show. And now at this point, I'm getting frustrated that I can't do the show. Yeah. Not the way I want to, anyhow.
It would be nice if Soundboard...
The only thing that's holding me up from podcasting again is I'm at such a quandary trying to figure out what to do about a hosting agent. You know, I mean, Mevio was fantastic because it was free, you know, and they didn't care how many downloads you had and things.
Well, most don't now.
It's a whole different world without them.
Actually, most don't now. I'm using 1&1, and I have unlimited downloads and unlimited disk space, unlimited bandwidth.
So it doesn't matter how many people download.
Well, that's what they claim. Of course, you know, but they don't mind the 2.3 people that listen to this podcast.
I never hit the kind of downloads you did, Barty, but at one point, Virtual Upro actually had a lot of traffic, and that was, you know, 4 or 5 years ago, and I've been using 1&1 almost since the get-go. Actually, I have been using 1&1 since the get-go, and I never had an issue with bandwidth with them. Never got any overage charges.
Yeah, I listened to you for quite a while, but there was some problem where I couldn't get you out of iTunes anymore.
You couldn't get what?
I couldn't get your show out of iTunes anymore.
Yeah.
I never submitted it to iTunes. That's interesting.
That's where I got it from.
I'm wondering how that happened.
I don't let that stop me. If there's a show I want to listen to, if it's not listed in iTunes, and I go
wait a minute. No,
I grab the RSS feed.
Shows other than
at one time.
Yeah, but you can put the RSS feed into iTunes.
At one time, I did dual post it to Podshow and 1&1. So you were probably getting it off the Podshow.
Maybe I kind of got you through Podshow then.
Probably. Yeah. Yep.
Nothing to see here.
Poncho automatically routed everything through iTunes.
Yeah. I did my...
Because, like, my show, I never did anything about putting it on iTunes. Poncho did all that for me.
Hmm.
I just created the show, and it just... the only thing I had to do manually, I had to get it onto the Zune Marketplace manually.
Mm-hmm.
And that was just... I approached them as a podcaster, and they kind of said, yeah, okay, thank you very much. We'll consider your request. And then I went through under other user IDs and requested it as a user. And as a user...
Oh, that's great.
Request. And after a couple of attempts with different email addresses, it showed up.
Oh, that's fantastic.
This time, which the timing was almost like dynamite, because it was like one or two episodes before the one that was called Free Sex, Free Porn, Sorry, It's Only Just Another Podcast, a Bartycast. And, you know, because I had like two shows that showed up that didn't get much interest, and then that one showed up, and it my podcast audience exploded.
Yeah.
So I guess basically the iTunes audience is more respectable people, and the Zune Marketplace people are horny. But you know, whatever works, because you know, yeah. I after that I catered to them. You know, I mean, I put pictures of my iTunes in my show notes picture. You know,
yeah.
So that whatever it works. Yeah. You know,
so Michael. Time to hook up the propane? What's that mean?
It's getting cold.
Yeah, it's getting cold, all right. And, you know, tonight, I don't know if you saw my message, but I was literally racing back to the house to try to get here in time for the start of the show.
Uh-huh.
And no time to split wood tonight, so I am freezing my tail off.
Oh, okay.
But
You haven't had a chance to listen to the last show, show number 67.
Oh, that was cool. I like that.
The beginning. it's all Michael.
Yeah. No, I got the tank here. Got the furnace ready to go. The tank is here. The furnace is ready to go. And the proper fittings
qualified.
And tubing. Yes. And all that stuff by the professional MVY installer team will be done this week.
That's excellent.
Exactly.
Excellent. I think I know the guy.
You know the propane guy.
Yeah, the propane guy.
Yeah, you're in the Keweenaw here, but you know we have to recommend a professional installer. And I said, well, I'm a professional. I'm not necessarily a professional propane guy, but I'm a professional. He's not that
professional. And you've installed things before. Therefore, you're a professional installer.
Right.
All right.
Right.
You know, so, you know,
I have all the proper tools. I've got the flaring tools for the pipe and everything else. So
yeah. Just remember
to... Well, guys, I hate to interrupt, but I really got to be running.
We're getting long anyway.
I'm pretty much a whole hour behind my whole schedule, and I really got to get my sorry old ass to bed.
All right. Well, Barty, we'll talk to you next week.
Yeah, you take care.
And, it's been great talking to the three of you.
Yeah.
You all take care of yourselves.
You too.
Okay. And we're going to get ready to shut down the show anyway, because we've been going for, it's probably getting close to 2 hours now.
Yeah, pretty much.
So,
I really got to go. I'm behind schedule.
We'll see you, Barty.
See ya.
Later, guys.
Okay. And we do have a musical guest. It's a musical guest that's been on the show before, the group Dirk, and their song Nowhere to Run. So with that, and that was Barty's bleep going bye-bye, we'll like to thank the military out there, both CONUS and OCONUS, and thanks for everything you do, especially the guys that are OCONUS. We hope you get back home to your family and friends real soon, and we're holding a candle for you guys. So with that, from the southwest corner of New Hampshire, I am Barry J.
From the southeast corner of New Hampshire, this is Josh.
And from the cold band cave in the suburbs of Copper Harbor, I'm Michael, the virtual Uper.
And we'll see you next week. Here's Dirk.
Storm has come in. coming searching for that higher ground. Let me be the one to say, let me be the one to show you everything will be okay. Let me be the one to show you, let me be the one to say, let me be the one to show you, let me be the one to say, let me be the one to show you.
Good boy.